be a time where people will hear my voice and they will come out of the grave, some to eternal life and some to eternal damnation. So regardless of this group of people that he was speaking to, man, he was speaking the truth, wasn't he? So this is that's a tough crowd. You know it's a tough crowd when they don't not dislike what you're saying. How can we end this guy's life? But Jesus, being the Son of God, it was not his time, was bold in his declaration. But we know this, and let's start. It says that this, therefore Jesus answered, was saying to them, I just want to go back to this verse 18 and 19. Actually going back to when he was talking about John the Baptist. So I'm sorry, back to verses 33, 34, and 35, saying that you enjoyed John for a spell. So see, the people loved John the Baptist, right? They did. Many people came to him. And I'm not saying that this group right here necessarily, but he does say this, that you have sent messengers to John. You don't want to hear me, but you sent messengers to John. So the people loved John the Baptist. People came to John to be baptized, to confess their sins. It was a message that was fresh and new at that time. It was a different type of message than what they were hearing in their normal everyday temple worship and reading the law and prophets. It was new. And so Jews were going back to John and saying, "Are you sure, John? Do you hear what this guy is saying? Have you heard the things? Have you heard the things he's saying, John?" So it's about this time that John is incarcerated. So if you look at the next chapter 6, there's the feeding of the 5,000. I think it's in Matthew. If you start reading around the time of the feeding of the 5,000, that John is actually incarcerated. And so from verse 18 to 35, he has been talking to these Jews who wanted him dead. And so the balance of this chapter, from 19 to verse 47, is directed at those who did not like Jesus. Sometimes we, knowing the crowd he's talking to, I'm learning in the Gospels, who he's talking to makes a big difference how you and I receive that. Is that doctrine? I mean, when he was saying, if your hand offends it, cut it off, right? But who was he talking to? If your eye offends you, pluck it out. Of course, we don't do that, right? But you have to look at who was he talking to? Talking to those who in the law who thought that their righteousness was in the law. But you cannot have righteousness in the law, as he began to lay that out. But then let me go to verse 36. So we're talking to this crowd that this hates Jesus. But the testimony he's talking to them, that I have, is greater than the testimony of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, testify about me that the Father has sent me. I think about John the Baptist real quick. He says back in John chapter 3, verse 30, he was starting at that time to say, he must increase, but I must decrease. John knew that his ministry paving the way for the Christ was actually coming to the end, because he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God. This is who I was speaking about, whose sandal I'm not even worthy to tie or untie." And this is saying, "Hey, I must increase. He must increase, but I must decrease." Meaning that I must come. I was in the light, as Jesus said. You enjoyed John's light for a season, but he was saying, now my light that God had for me and my brightness in speaking and preparing the way of the Lord is now coming to the end, and he's going to increase and take the stage. And so he says a testimony. Let me just say this: testimony of the Father. So what is he saying? He says, testifies about me. The Father testifies about me that the Father has sent me. Verse 37, and it says, and the Father who sent me, he has testified about me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. Have you ever wondered when you look at that and say, well, what do you mean? How has the Father testified about Jesus? And the Father who sent me has testified about me. So we know just a couple examples in the scriptures of when God testified about Jesus. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, so we're going back a little ways. And it says, and after he was baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw, so this is Jesus, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and settling on him. And behold, a voice from the heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. So there was God testifying straight, said, the heavens opened up. I wonder what that looked like, right? I don't know. And it says, and Jesus saw like the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descending on him. And then a voice, you know, in the scriptures, it doesn't say who heard it or if anybody heard it. Did it sound like thunder? Did they understand what was being said? But it said there was a voice that said, this is my beloved Son. Amen. So there's an example of the Father testifying about his Son. And then you know some of the other ones. Let me just mention he testified on the transfiguration on the mount, right? Of transfiguration, saying he took with him. Who did he take with him? He took, does anybody know who Jesus took on the mount? Yeah, John, Peter. Did he have, was there a third one? I'm trying to think. Was there James with him? Yeah. James. Peter and John, I thought, and James. So he had this three, and so when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, who showed up on the scene with Jesus? Moses and Elijah. I'm just seeing who's awake. And then it says that Jesus was transfigured, right? His hair, his clothes, all bright white. And then Peter says, hey, man, should we make a shelter here? That's what we did in the Old Testament, you know. He says, I remember reading this in Hebrew school. Should we make it? He didn't know what to say. There's a shelter. And then it says, then there was a cloud, a bright cloud that came over. And then they spoke out of this. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And then he says this. God said this, and he was talking to Peter. To his disciples. He said, listen to him. And so this was a second testimony of God testifying. And even Jesus has said this. Let's talk about a few more. Jesus said, if you don't believe me, believe the works that I do, because they testify about the Father being with me. And so even though they would not believe him, he says, you don't believe me, but can you at least believe the works? Can you see what I'm doing, that God is with me? But yet they weren't believing. So God testifying, this is my Son. You think of the miracles. How about another way? Him speaking with authority, right? Remember when they sent some temple guards, I think it was, and said, we want you to go arrest Jesus. And so the Sadducees and Pharisees said, we want you to arrest Jesus. And so they go to arrest Jesus, and here he is speaking, and they just get caught up in his authority and his power. That was God testifying that this is my Son. And they came back and said, where's Jesus? They said, we've never heard anybody speak like this. We couldn't do it. We forgot why you even sent us out there. We come back and like, why would you want us to arrest him? The Father was testifying that he was the Son. And see, that's the same thing with you and I, that today, that there's different ways that the Father testifies that you and I belong to him. Amen. If the Father testified that Jesus was his Son, then there are ways that today that the Father testifies that you and I are his sons and daughters. You know, I like this one thing, that this powerful scripture. You've heard this, so let's read a couple of scriptures. Revelations chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Revelations 12, 10 and 11, it says this, then I heard a loud voice. This is John again, right? Now, John the Revelator now, right? So this is John, and now with his vision of Revelation, the book of Revelation, it says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. So who is the accuser of the brethren? Satan. Who is the one that tries to bring you and I down? Amen. It could be through other people. It could be through what Satan tries to say in your head or whatever. But whatever he can do to try to slander or accuse you, he's going to try to do that day and night if you listen, by the way. But it says, but how did they overcome? It says, and they overcame him. And it gives a big old long list. No, it doesn't give a long list. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. So it was the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Wow. The word of their testimony. Well, they're going to say this, I put my trust in the finished work of the cross. He filled me with his Holy Spirit. He's brought me through all these different things. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's never left me to my own demise. Thank you, Jesus. Those are the testimonies that defeat Satan as he is accusing you. As the enemy accuses you, it is going to be your testimonies that drives back those lies of the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Can you, day and night, slander and accusing who? The saints of God and their testimony. This, yep, you know, if you had, if you, you know what, you're, this is your fault, this situation. Yeah, but he's always gotten me out of situations before like this. Yeah, but his blood washed my sins away. Oh, yeah, I know about that past, but he's growing me and he's with me. He's leading me. He's guiding me. Oh, yeah, yes, I blow it all the time, but he's still there. His Holy Spirit hasn't left me. Amen. I belong to him. Hallelujah. I have a testimony of what he's done, and I know he will do it again. Breaking the power of accusation over your life and my life is so powerful, is our testimony. What's that song says about testimony from death to life? Yeah. Those are powerful words. And even this continue on 1 John 5:9-12. You have a testimony here, right? I'm telling you, when we get down or discouraged and we start saying things that are agreeing with the enemy, agreeing with the accuser, that's when that testimony stuff, it's there, but it's like we don't recall it. We don't remember it. You ever been there? Have you ever been there where you start agreeing with the enemy a little bit? It's called discouragement. It's called our emotions. It's called our attitudes. We've all done it. And his goodness and his grace that we could be going along in that muck and mire, and then it's something will shake us, and the Lord, he's always speaking to us, will say, wait a second. Wait a second. Right? Wait a second. Remember this, Lord. I remember when you did this. It's like when David and his group of men he had, this sort of men that he's with was not your outstanding citizens, right? When he was running from Saul. It said that it was with those that were running, those that were in debt. So this was quite the group of people. Do you remember that there were some raiders came and took everything, their women, their children, their wives, all their belongings, right? And then they talked about stoning David. And then does the scripture say that the Holy Spirit came down and he was filled with the fire of God? Nope. It didn't say it on this example. It said, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know what that encouragement was? Man, I just have to go back a week in his life at that time. Look what you brought me out of here, Lord. Look what you did in my life. Man, you called me. You spoke to me. There was oil pouring over my head, on my down to his beard, or whatever his beard looked like when he was probably 18 years old, down my chest, saying that you had called me to be a king and a priest. And it's not much different than you and I. It may not be King David, but he's filled me with his Holy Spirit, which represents the oil flowing down over our head, down over your beard, if you don't have a beard, just over your face, amen, down onto your clothes. That's a representative of the Holy Spirit being in you, and he's called us to be kings and priests, hallelujah. The calling may be different, a different dispensation, a different time and age, but it's still a calling nevertheless. It's still a purpose nevertheless, and it is the Holy Spirit living in you and I nevertheless. And just like what David said there, began to encourage himself in the Lord. How would he encourage himself in the Lord? Lord, I know you're going to get me out of this. I don't know how. This doesn't look good. Could you imagine? This does not look good. Everything's gone, saints. But because he encouraged himself, just think, if he hadn't encouraged himself in the Lord, they wanted to stone him. I don't know what would happen, but God knew. There was more to what was going on right there, by the way. He didn't have Saul in his life. He didn't have Jonathan in his life, who was such an encourager. He didn't have his right-hand man, his brother, anymore. It didn't seem like he had anybody there, so he had to encourage himself. And I'm telling you that how he encouraged himself was his testimony. His testimony of what God has done. If there's anything here tonight, saints, realize the power of our testimony. We got to remember, as I was preparing for this, the Lord is speaking to my heart, that our testimony in the blood of the Lamb is what gives us victory over every wile of the enemy. God loves us rehearsing our testimony. That builds faith. That builds confidence. It's like King David said, who encouraged himself in the Lord. Man, he could have stayed in that. He could have just taken it on himself. How in my natural self am I going to get myself out of this? He didn't go the route of trying to get out of it in his own intellect, his own emotional capability. It was encouraging himself in the Lord. And because he did that, because of his recalling his testimony, everything that the enemy took was restored. Everything was restored. Man, how many things are we looking for the Lord to restore in our lives? And man, Lord, help us to encourage ourselves in God. Help us to remember, Lord, our testimonies, Father God, those things you've done. Lord, being mindful of those things, as those things are a powerful weapon in our hand to defeat the enemy with the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Man, that's good teaching tonight. That's the Lord speaking to our hearts. I know it. You know how I know it? Because it's in the Word of God. It's not in the book of Chad. It is in the book of John. It was in the book of 1 John, and it's in the book of Revelation. Hallelujah! Let's continue to move on. So we're going to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Amen. And this is John. So this is John speaking, right, to a particular body or small church. He says, if we receive the testimony of people, the testimony of God is greater. You can have people come and pump you up and tell you how awesome you are, but they may not be there the next week. Or the next week, they may be telling you how awesome you are not. Right? So you can't depend always on the testimony of people. Has anybody come to realize that? If we receive the testimony of people, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that he has testified concerning his Son. And that's what we've been just reading about. So John is coming back in 1 John chapter 5, and actually along the same line, writing exactly what he did, what Jesus spoke in John chapter 5. Because what was Jesus saying during that chapter? My Father testified to me. My Father, who's the one who's approved me. My Father is the one who told me I am his Son. He's the one that testifies to me. He says, I don't care what you say. I know what my Father has said. It says, if we receive the testimony of people, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that he has testified concerning his Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. So where is this testimony? In you. By the Holy Spirit. Right? By the Holy Spirit, it says. It says it's the Holy Spirit that testifies in Romans chapter 8 that we belong to him. It says if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to him. But if you have the Holy Spirit, you know, if you have that peace of heaven, or so to speak, or have that you've been sealed with, that is first mark of testimony. What it even in book of Galatians, Paul said, hey, look, the promises of Abraham belong to you, and it starts with this. You have his Holy Spirit. The very first thing you get when you belong to Jesus is you get his Holy Spirit. Not the second thing, not the third thing, not next week, not down the road. The first thing that you receive is the Holy Spirit when you give your life to Christ. When you become born again, amen? Amen. The one who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in himself, that the one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And the testimony, and then he says this again. It's the same quote again. He said this is the second time, the same words. And the testimony is this. He said it in verse 9, and he's saying it again in verse 11. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. The one who has the Son has the life. The one who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Amen. It's amazing, because if you read in John chapter 5, verse 38, it says this. Also, you do not have the... He's talking to those Jews that hate him, right? So we're back to John chapter 5. Now we're back on verse 38. So we've bumped down a verse now. We read all those things about testimony. And we read in 1 John 5 where he says that it's that his life is in the Son. His testimony lives in you, right? Also, and then he said this talking to those Jews that hated him. He says, also you do not have his word remaining in you, because you do not believe him whom he sent. Wow. His testimony in you and I, saints. His love, his power, his grace, his mercy, his strength. You know, sometimes it'll be some of the big, you can't discount your testimony. People, it doesn't matter how new you are in the Lord, your testimony can have a powerful impact on the people around you, whether it be at work, your family, amen. If there's anything that our family should know, our testimony. As I begin to get older, I realize that a lot of my nephews, nieces, even my children don't know my testimony. Well, they're adults now. I can tell them some of the nitty-gritty now. I can let them know, hey, you can go through things. We can tell our children, you can go through things, but this is my testimony that God remains with you. Amen. I'm going to have Gina come up to the piano again. Will you be able to turn her on for me? Eddie, and if we can stand up. And what I want to do tonight, if we could just take a few minutes and worship him. And if you could just maybe take a moment and just in your mind, maybe think about some things about testimony in your life. Amen. Because you and I will need it again. Maybe tomorrow. It may be next week. But there's going to be a time where the Holy Spirit wants to recollect to you, hey, encourage yourself. Amen. Encourage yourself. It could have been a time where you think back of when you were born again, realizing that, man, you belong to him. It could be a time where God saved you from an accident, or you thought at a time where you were in financial ruin and you thought you would never get out of that. Or it could be where you were hurt in a relationship, but yet God has healed your heart. It could be in a car accident where, man, I should have died there. It could be any time of a devastation where God was faithful to you. And in remembering those things during difficult times, saying, Lord, my testimony is during those difficult times, I did not give up. I did not give in. And you brought me through. You know, in these coming days, months, weeks, years, our testimony to the world is going to be most important. And let me just say this. I know we stand up for the truth, for the gospel. I can't stand how the left is destroying this nation. But you know, there's going to be people that are going to need to hear our testimony. If they just hear how much we hate them, how will they hear our testimony? The person who's bound whatever sinful lifestyle, your testimony can be what brings them out. It can bring them from in darkness into light. See, the testimony is one of those things of the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're the mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Those strongholds are the thoughts and things that have control in our life. And us focusing on our testimony and things that God has done is one of those things that God uses to tear down those strongholds. This is never going to change. Where I'm at, it's just, Lord, it just seems like it's never, ever going to change. It could be health. It could be financial. It could be in a relationship. It could be in a struggle with addiction. Start thinking about, Lord, you've never leaving me or forsaken me. If you continue to focus on the testimony, God will create a new testimony for you. So now David, when he encouraged himself with his testimony, that became something that he could look back and say, look at that. That's another thing on the next step. Look at what happened there. The next thing that he faced, which he faced many things after that, he could say, now he had a fresh testimony. He said, God, look what you brought me there. God is always looking to create a testimony in our lives. Did you know that? Always.
Siri.
Amen. Gene, if you can worship, we can just worship him a little bit. Let's just worship him, okay? Amen. Share somebody else's testimony real quick. I've been meaning to read it in church and I've forgotten. But you remember Krista Winchester? She's the one that, you know, she gave the testimony that somehow she ends up coming to church here, going through a hard time in her life, and she began to testify how this church helped her. Just the people in this church. And then she decides she's going to Bible college, so now she's at Karis Bible College. And she was there a whole semester. We hadn't heard from her, so she sent this card to say, "Man, testifying how this people of this church, with the love of God, helped restore her life. Much woundedness and devastation in her life has begun. But God began to heal her, and then God puts in her heart to go move to Colorado, going to Karis Bible College." As God says, even though I still have struggles, she says, "I'm going forward to what God has for me." And she says, "It was because of family church in Chino Valley." That's a testimony. Father, we thank you for testimonies like that. And Krista Winchester, right now, we just pray for her right now. We just pray the blessing of God on her life. We pray the protection of God on her life. Lord, we just pray you would lead and guide her, Father God, that you'd give lead her in truth, give her direction. Lord, just lead her as she continues to go to school there. And as she's directed by you, we thank you as our own sister in the Lord. We love her. We thank you for her, Lord. We thank you, Father, for helping her overcome, Lord, to continue to build her testimony of what you've done in her life. And we glory in that, Lord, that brings encouragement into our lives. And we thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Anybody? Well, let's pray for all our kids. Yeah. If you've got children here. Well, I got one that's in Bible college doing well. I've got one that's doing pretty well. Anybody have any pretty wells?
Pretty well. And one that's...
Oh, God's doing a mighty work in my daughter.
Yes, amen.
So, Lord, we thank you for our children in Jesus' name. I don't, Lord, whatever situation we're in, Lord, you are the God, you're the restorer, God. We've heard you call it, you're the hound of heaven, Lord. You're always on the trail of our children, Lord. And, Lord, your word says that you would perfect all those things concerning me. So we bless our children in the name of Jesus. We call them out from the east, Father God, in Jesus' name. We call them from the west in Jesus' name. We call them from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We call them home in Jesus' name. Whatever's going on, those who don't know you are backslidden, Lord, we thank you. This is the day and the age where the backslider is being restored unto Jesus, Lord. Healing the brokenhearted, Father God. Those who said, I've done too much, it's too late. I've gone too far. My heart's too hard. We thank you that, Lord, that is a lie in Jesus' name. We thank you for the restoring the hearts of nephew, nieces, mothers, fathers, children, grandchildren. We claim them for the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. We thank you for that, God. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. I know this is a day and age with things that are going on around in this world, Lord. You're bringing them home. And as that song says, even when I don't see it, you're working. And we declare that. We thank you, Father God, for the many testimonies that we will hear in the future. Do you believe that, saints? I mean, I'm telling you. I believe the first thing of a move of God in our nation is going to be for the backslider. Yeah. Because the one who has spent time thinking, I can't be restored. It's too late. I can't figure it out. God's rejected me. When that type of person realizes that God's grace restores them, they become lit on fire.
Amen.
They become lit on fire. They become lit on fire. They're the ones that said, man, I was dead, but now I am alive.
Yes,
amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank
those
you,
are the ones coming back to their father's house.
Amen.
As he kisses them, puts a ring on their finger, puts a robe around them.
Yes.
Said, I've been waiting to see you. Come back to me. I've been waiting. I've been looking for you. Lord, looking for our children, seeing everywhere every one of them is, every situation. Good, bad, ugly, and indifferent. Nothing is impossible. Go back for Jesus. He's coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And he gets to where that that boy is having a seizure.
Yeah.
And he says, and Jesus asked him about that boy. And he says, yeah, this demonic foe throws him in the fire.
Yeah.
And this happens and that happens. And he says, Jesus, if you can help him. And Jesus says, if? He says, all things are possible to him. Do you hear that? All things are possible to him that believes. Lord, I pray that faith would rise in our hearts afresh and anew on this Wednesday crowd. Lord, I know they're not here because they don't have anything better to do. I know that, Lord. So, Father, I bless this group in the name of Jesus. I said, Lord, I bless this group in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray you would fulfill the desires of our hearts in Jesus' name. Lord, that you fulfill the heart, the desires of our heart in Jesus' name. Lord, those areas of our hearts that are broken, Lord, that are sick or depressed, Lord, I thank you for bringing those alive again. Lord, we thank you for bringing us alive in you again, Lord Jesus. We thank you for restoring, I don't care the age, gifts and callings, hopes and dreams. I don't care if they've been dead 20, 30, 40 years. I don't know, the Lord knows, but I thank you for reviving old hearts in Jesus' name. It's not too late, saints, reviving old hearts. For times such as this, for a time as such as this, Father, we thank you for restoring. We thank you for stirring, Father God. We thank you for stirring. We thank you for setting a fresh fire with purpose, Lord. And so we thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for even reminding us when we get up in the morning, a reminder of a testimony, something that could even happen 20, 30 years ago. And God says, I am still the God that does that. So we thank you for that tonight, Lord. How we love you. And we love the work of your Holy Spirit. And we love the revelation of the Word of God. And we thank you for the supernatural in our lives.
Yes.
In Jesus' name
thank
we pray.
You, Lord.
And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen and amen. Do you love the Lord tonight? Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.